Our final speaker is Drew
Scrimshire.
And he will be presenting on cotton virus associates with whiteflies or something else.
Like she said, I'm the final speaker, so I'm going to be brief, but I hope to share with you some kind of a practical situation that I had in the field in South Alabama this year with some leaf crumpling symptoms. With that, I'll introduce myself. I've received my master's in plant pathology at Auburn University in 2013. I was a student under Dr. Kathy Lawrence, studying mainly plant parasitic nematodes. I currently work for a company, a retail company, AgriAFC. We're located in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and Florida. I work as an agronomist in South Alabama, Florida Panhandle, and South Mississippi. And with my role as an agronomist, I provide a technical support or support our salesmen and growers alike. We do on-farm demonstration trials, try to get the newest things out on the farm that we can, whether it be variety trials, crop protection products, nutrient management, just anything we can carry to the grower, you know, that may help him in his production practices. With that technical support, from day to day, take on agronomic challenges in the field with the growers. Like to be with local information on the challenges they're facing, as well as timely information. And that kind of brought me to the situation I came across with the leaf crumpling symptoms this year. Just to put it short, it was leaf crumpling symptoms that resembled viruses that we know in cotton. I'm going to try to discuss, you know, the association with whiteflies that I came across. Also discuss the timeline of the observation, kind of put it together of when both whiteflies and the virus came about, or the symptoms came about, and then the severity of symptoms, the results, and from what sampling we've done so far, as well as the ideas or cause of the symptoms. The leaf crumpling symptoms, the first time I came across them was at the tail end of our cotton growing season in 2016. Jay, Florida, and the Atmore area around South Alabama was a few fields that I noticed in, and we were actually there, you know, I was working with the growers on defoliation timing, and just so happened, came across some plants that had a unique crumpling appearance to the terminal leaves. I was curious of what was going on. I never had seen that much crumpling to the leaf, so I went into a nutrient standpoint and did some tissue sampling just to try to look at some, you know, maybe deficiency that could cause it, as well as there's an abundance of all sorts of leaf spot. Tail end of the growing season, very hot, humid weather. The grower specifically asked, do you think this could be from the leaf spot? And there was a lot of leaf spots on the veins and mid-reel of the leaves that could have caused it, you know, just thinking of how it was infecting the plant. And then bacterial blight symptoms, that they were pretty widespread in these fields as well. But I never confirmed a reason for it in 2016 and kind of went to the wayside. And on August 1st of 2017 was the first time I'd came across it this past growing season. Very mild leaf crumpling observed in Barber County. That would be in the southeast, kind of northern portion of our wiregrass growing area. You can see in kind of what I'm talking about in the terminal growth, those leaf crumpling symptoms. Very specific at this time and at the time, the growth stage to the terminal leaf of the plant. Also, just isolated plants. Came across a plant here or there in the field and very isolated areas of the field when I was walking through it. So I became curious again. Here's the same leaf crumpling showing up in cotton. So started looking into, you know, what could cause it. First thing came to mind, herbicide. All the new auxin technology on the market and our situation with that. Started looking, could this be from a drift or injury from an auxin herbicide? One thing I'll point out is I mentioned earlier how we have the variety trials, or do the demonstration trials for the varieties. We did have a variety trial with the companies listed here, entries from those companies. So we had 2,4-D tolerant varieties, we had dicamba tolerant varieties, and there were across each variety. You find the same symptoms in both the dicamba or 2,4-D tolerant varieties. And then the symptoms, they just weren't really typical. As they progressed through the season, they just weren't really typical of what I see out of our oxen injury or situations with that. Again, I looked at nutrient deficiencies, did some tissue sampling. Everything looked adequate, nothing there. So started, you know, asking growers, you know, or knew a lot of the practices going across on the products that were sprayed, all the crop protection products, plant growth regulators, foliar nutrients. It was just variable. There was no rhyme or reason, you know, or anything to pinpoint back to it could be a certain product causing it. Talked about thrips. Looked a lot like thrips injury on early cotton, on seedling cotton, but there was a lot of plant bugs or stink bug applications going out, and I didn't actually observe thrips. I'm not saying they weren't there either, but I feel like we had those suppressed pretty good at this time. And then, of course, looking into the symptom descriptions and everything, started thinking of virus situation. On August 2nd, the next day, was in a field. The first whitefly situation that I came across in grower visits or on the farm in South Alabama. It was an older cotton, and the whiteflies were at a lower level. Didn't think about leaf crumpling symptoms at this time. I already looked whenever I find the whiteflies for leaf crumpling symptoms in that field. They could have been there, and I don't know. I was there trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do about the whiteflies. Consulted with Dr. Ron Smith and both Dr. Ron Smith and Philip Roberts in the field to try to help identify if this is what they're seeing in South Georgia and kind of get a feel for thresholds and control or what to do to control them. After that day, I think Dr. Ron Smith told us that was his first situation where he knew we had some whitefly trouble starting to creep in the wiregrass area. Kind of migrating out of South Georgia, and after that day, the populations and reports and growers started calling whitefly. You know, they started blowing up pretty much all across South Alabama, especially the wiregrass area. This is a map showing the counties that I've actually observed going on whitefly calls or field visits to look at whiteflies to help with control. This is where the counties that I actually observed both whiteflies and the leaf crumpling virus in. By the end of August, I started noticing that these leaf crumpling symptoms getting pretty severe, and I felt like we had something going on. I kept thinking virus, so I contacted, on a farm to look at whiteflies, and the whitefly population by then I knew we couldn't control, but what did concern me was the leaf crumpling symptoms that were there, and they were pretty severe. So I contacted Dr. Lawrence at Auburn and just started, you know, running ideas by her and asked her to come to the field to look at it. She did come and visit the field. Did some more pictures of the leaf crumpling symptoms. You can see this cotton's probably, I'm gonna say, about second week of bloom. The terminal growth starting to cup up. You can notice in the pictures the number of whiteflies we have there too. And how I mentioned the isolated plants throughout the field. You can see there how this one plant in particular, the top, the terminal's becoming stunted, leaf crumpling. Notice all there's been a lot of whitefly feeding going on or pressure there because of the honeydew being secreted on the lower leaves, giving that waxy, oily appearance. So Dr. Lawrence and her students came down and visited these fields and kind of got an idea of what we were seeing. We did sample on August 31st a field that was pretty severe symptoms going on, and that would be in Henry County, Alabama, and then in Barber County on September 25th. Dr. Lawrence contacted Dr. Judy Brown at the University of Arizona for her expertise in the diagnostics side of it, and kind of explained the situation and asked if we could send the sample samples to her. I've listed some of the diagnostic procedures she provided us that she did in the report. I'm not very knowledgeable in kind of working with viruses, so a lot of it is molecular PCR type work. But she basically immediately went into looking or getting the primer set up, and immediately went and looked and trying to identify if it is a known virus that or a virus that we know in the U.S. in cotton. She also wanted to identify the whitefly and see if she could find the virus in the whitefly as well. She pretty much extracted DNA from the symptomatic leaves, and the total DNA used was a template for the PCR. This is just a couple charts showing her way of naming the samples we set in, so she could run the screens on those samples. She used four primers, five primers to screen four. And as you can see on the PCR strips, the ones, two, three, four, and five are the different primers she used, and then nothing was amplified for any of the primers she used, and then the positive controls were amplified, indicating a negative response. Just to kind of summarize up the work she's done so far and detecting or the diagnostic work she's done, looking to see if we had a virus that she would know, there was a negative response. So nothing that we know was indicated, and she did indicate, however, a divergent Begamovirus could be present, or a plant virus, you know, coming from something other than whiteflies. She did indicate the samples were in really good conditions when they were shipped, so she got them in good conditions and were able to work with them, and indicated unlikely that the DNA was degraded or that virus titer was below the detection level. So she felt good overall about the samples we had sent. As the season progressed, there's some fields in particular got really, really tough, really widespread, moved outside of the areas that we'd first noticed it in. One thing that jumped out to me immediately was there was no fruit set on some of the plants at all, and then all terminals, basically the top 8-9 nodes of the plant, did not have any bowls on it. Stems were swollen and brittle. Walking into these varieties, you know, you obviously want to look at it, get it up, observe it. You could reach for that plant and it immediately break off in your hand. And in some fields, the yields were impacted pretty severely. I don't have numbers, but just, you know, conversations with the growers, thinking a bell of cotton off in some areas, and it was pretty dramatic. From what I observed myself, and the cotton I looked at, I won't say approximately 10,000 acres that I actually visited, most of the time centered around a whitefly situation, led to me finding leaf crumpling symptoms. Variable in how severe, I think it's more so the timing that if what was occurring, you know, the growth stage of the cotton. The younger the cotton was when we noticed the leaf crumpling symptoms, the worse these fields got by the end of the year. I've thought about a lot of different things, and when it comes down to it, it just resembles a virus, and that's my best way to describe it. And then it is consistent. I can tell you this, thinking and really paying attention, taking notes, the trends where we had whitefly problems in the field is where we had leaf crumpling. I've been to a lot of different fields that did not have whiteflies, you know. I think a lot of insecticides that was used throughout the season for plant bug management or stink bug management probably caused some problems or really exploded the whitefly populations. And some fields were managed differently, and we didn't have any whitefly show up in them. And I did not notice the leaf crumpling systems there. So that's where I've came up with a situation that I think is correlated to the whiteflies. And with that, I'll take any questions or conversations, anything.
Do you have any questions?
You're one of these real good plants here. Are you going to plant cotton? Are you going to rotate these fields out or something else?
think it'll be a lot of cotton planted. Some of the situations I don't know, but from what I've gathered, my conversation with the growers, they'll be heavy with cotton in our area next year, especially South Alabama. Nothing I saw. Not from, one of the fields in particular had a variety trial. And no. I know, I can tell you this, every variety expressed some severe symptoms and widespread. It became isolated patches, especially on the field edges. But by the time we were ready to defoliate, you saw the pictures, that was the day he defoliated that I took those pictures of how late that every variety in that plot was. It just was not any bowls to mature out. And then we had a situation, I know everybody's aware of the rainfall and totals in our area, the bacterial blight situations, a lot of things going on, so a lot of boll rot, and that was something that really stood out to me as well. We got no cotton in the top, and everything's rotting on the bottom, and it's pretty dramatic. Not familiar with bronze wilt, but from what I've read or discussed with people, bronze wilt would have more of a not leaf crumpling appearance to it, more of a situation where you just lack bowls and discolored leaves. So, but I'm not familiar with it. Aphids populations where, we hit a situation where no work could get done. A very hot, humid aphids started building, but then they crashed very fast. That was, I would say, a few weeks before this, started happening. But I can't talk confidently about the aphids overall. We do, and we've reached out to folks. I think if I'm not mistaken, Kim Wright was seeing some similar symptoms and isolated to certain plants in South Georgia.
Yes.
And I know one of the pictures that was going back and forth there. I think it was in a county very close to Barber County where I first saw it. So I know that he's been involved in some conversations. Austin Hagen has, Dr. Cutts at Auburn. Different ones, but I do. I think we need to reach out to more folks and get. I think that's maybe her approach next, from what I've gathered, is she is going to continue to look. We know that it's not anything that we know of a cotton virus right now, but she would continue to look for something different. And she may still, she in her last email reply about the work she's doing, she said it would be, mid-December before she could get back and start on it, and then would update us from that side as soon as she could.
So that is the end of our session, the end of our meeting. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and we hope to see you next year.